Well, let me ask you a question. Have you been doing what you were born to do all week long? You ever think about that? Are you doing what you were born to do? Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know why you're alive? Do you know what God wants out of your life specifically, individually, purposefully? Do you have any idea what He wants to do in you and through you? And the question after that is, are you doing it? Let me ask you to get in your car, in your mind, and go with me down the street. We'll go out of the parking lot and we'll take a right and we'll go to Lake Merriam. And at the light, we will take another right. We're going to go to the top of Lake Merriam all the way to South Florida Avenue. On the right-hand side of the street, just as you come to the light at the corner of Lake Merriam and South Florida Avenue, there is a tire store there. You got the picture in your mind? You see the tire store. Now, they're not paying me to do an advertisement, so I'm not going to call their name. But if you'll go to that tire store, I want to ask you to think about, why in the world are they there? Why is there a tire store at the corner of Lake Merriam and South Florida Avenue? Well, I wonder, is it because there are people who need a job and so they set up business there just so that there could be a place for people to go to work? No, the truth of the matter is they are there to sell tires. Now, let me ask you this. Do you realize that primarily they are there not to sell tires to the people who work there, but they are there to sell tires to who? Us. That's what they're in business for. Now, I want you to come back into your mind, into the parking lot, and again, we're going to take another journey. You're going to go back out of the parking lot, and you're going to take a ride, and you're going to go to 540A, and at the corner of 540A and Lakeland Highlands Road, you're going to see that there is an Eckerd Drug store on the left-hand side of the street. Let me ask you, why is Eckerd Drug there? I know what you think. You think it's because Walgreens across the street. Have you noticed that everywhere there's an Eckerd, there's a Walgreens, and everywhere there's a Walgreens, there's an Eckerd that comes in? It's either they're in cahoots together, or they are competing like you can't believe. I'm not sure. I've often wanted to find out if they're really doing that just to get our attention, and they're all putting the money in the same pockets. I don't know. But let me ask you, what in the world is Eckerd Drugs doing there? Are they there so that they can give a job to somebody in the community? Are they there so that they can just take up space? Are they there because somebody needed to buy that lot from the person who owned that lot? Is that why Eckerd Drug is there? No, I doubt very seriously that that's the reason that they're there. They aren't even there to compete with Walgreens Drug. They are there primarily to sell products to the people of South Lakeland. They are there to sell medicine, health-related products, and other consumer needs. Now, we all know that every business comes into existence for a purpose. Now, there may be some other reasons that they stay in business, but the purpose is to sell or dispense the services or product that they have. But let me ask you this question. Can you tell me right here, at the corner of Hallam and Lakeland Highlands Road, why is there a church that calls itself Lakeland Highland Park Church of the Nazarene? Why are we here? Let me ask you to be real honest with yourself. Do you think we're here so that we can meet your personal needs? Do you think we're here so that we can babysit your children on Sunday night so you can go out and eat while they have church at church? You didn't think I knew about that, did you? Are we here so that your teenagers will have a place to go so you can get them out of the house? I'll tell you, there are over 100 teenagers that meet every week back in Park Place, and I got to tell you, their worship service is the most incredible, exciting thing. You had them here Wednesday night, and they almost replaced our Wednesday night worship team. I'm telling you, it's incredible. Everybody loved our youth department, but is that the reason that we're here? So we can have a youth department so that we can get the kids off the streets and into a building and control them? Of course not. What is the purpose then? For this church, why do we exist? If you're really going to answer that, if you're accurately going to figure out what we're all about, you're going to have to open the definitive word. You're going to have to go to the only thing that really matters. It is the word of God. And you're going to have to go back to Matthew chapter 28. And you're going to have to find out why over 2,000 years ago, a man who called himself the Son of God came and said, I am leaving here to go back to my Father. But because you believe that I am God Himself and that I have come to save you of your sins, I am giving you a commission. And let me tell you, all authority in all of the heavens and all of the earth has been given to me. And so you have a purpose now, and that purpose is to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Now, do you know why you're here? Do you know why every Sunday morning you get up and some of you come at 9 o'clock for Sunday school? That is because you are very serious about the last part of that and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You want to know more about what He has commanded. So you're here for discipleship. And some of you come at 10:15 because you want to be here to worship Him, because Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord or worship Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's why you are here right now. Are you here? Did you get up this morning and come at 10:15 because it's just where you're supposed to be? Or is there a purpose burning inside your soul that says, I've got to show Him I love Him. I've got to be sanctified by His power and His grace in the worship. I've got to be given some kind of strength in the message and in the singing so that I can go into the world and survive, not only survive, but thrive one more week. Is that why you're here? You see, folks, what we are here for is to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives so we recognize who He is. We worship Him. He sanctifies our being. And we get out of these seats and we go out there somewhere and we tell people that Jesus will give them hope, for He is the only name under heaven through which we can be saved. Now, the question that I have to ask you is, are you fulfilling the purpose of being a church, a Christian, a believer of Jesus Christest? Have you really learned what being a Christian is all about? Sometimes I think we need a little remedial understanding. Sometimes I'm not sure we have learned very well what the purpose of the church is. Reminds me of a story that I heard a couple of weeks ago. Is a story about a young man by the name of John, spelled J-O-N. I don't know that that matters, but anyway, John was coming to graduation. John had a hard time all the way through high school. High school hadn't been easy for him, and he came right down to the very end, and John wasn't going to graduate. Now, John was a popular man. Everybody in the school liked him. He was the best player on the football team. He was Mr. Personality. He was incredible. And they got to the graduation exercises, and there was no way that John was going to graduate. And so the students in the graduating class began chanting, "Let John graduate. Let John graduate." Glad you got friends like that. And so the principal said, "I'll tell you what, John, I'm going to give you one more chance. Let me give you a little test. If you pass this test, you can graduate." And so he said, "John, I've got 5 apples in this hand, and I've got 5 apples in this hand. Can you tell me for graduation how many apples do I have?" John thought long and hard for a few minutes, and he thought about, if I go 5 yards and then I go 5 more yards, how many yards have I gained? And he said, 10. And the entire student body began chanting, "Give John another chance. Give John another chance." I'm going to have to give y'all a little bit of time to figure that one out. We've been going to church for so long, most of us, that somehow I think that we might have forgotten what we're really all about. I think it becomes very important for us to go back to the Word of God and understand what we as a church are supposed to be. I have a dream. I have a dream of pastoring a church that knows why it exists. I have a dream of pastoring a people who cannot be satisfied with the way things are. I have a dream of being part of a family of believers who aren't satisfied with just doing routine church. I have a dream of being a part of a family who moves beyond themselves and their own desires and their own opinions and their own preferences, and move outside of themselves, willing to touch the lives of somebody else, even if it inconveniences them. I have a dream of pastoring a church filled with people who don't have to sit in the same place every Sunday and can still worship Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I have a dream of a church who isn't concerned at all about what people are wearing, but more concerned about what is inside of their soul. I have a dream of pastoring a church filled with people who cannot be still to let the world go by and die and go to a literal hell, but must do something to give hope and joy and life to them. I have a dream. I have a dream of a church that understands that even when all of society is getting so educated in the scholarly way, even in religion, that some scholars are saying, "Oh, there is no literal heaven, there is no literal hell, and they're part of our own institutions." I want to say to you, I have a dream of pastoring a church who says the Word of God still stands as the authority, regardless what anybody else says. I have a dream of pastoring a church who understands that we are not here for us. We are here for those people who have no idea about the hope and the peace and the joy that we possess inside of us. If we're really going to have that kind of church, then we have to have some defining taking place. First of all, we have a defining characteristic of church that fulfills its purpose, is that it expands its embrace to everyone. I am so glad that we've got a church that hugs each other. I want you to understand, if you can't hug each other without having the wrong kinds of feeling, you aren't the church. Are you listening to me? You are the church if you can embrace in holy love. You are the church if you can be intimately involved with each other from a spiritual perspective. You are the church if you care more about who they are in Jesus than you care about what they look like, smell like, or act like. Amen. You see, I have a dream of pastoring a church that goes beyond the status quo, that moves beyond the average. Today marks 2 years that I have been your pastor, and the power of the Almighty God has been all over this place. He has done things in us that no human being is capable of accomplishing. I want you to understand that He is the one who has laid it on the heart of people to win the lost for Him. It is He who has given to us the ability to do the things that we have done for His kingdom, because nothing that happens here happens except to bring glory to the name of Jesus the Christ. Nothing. That's all that we are about. You see, we have got to expand our embrace. We've got to get out beyond our own little family. I dream of pastoring a church who doesn't think that this is just about us, but it's about everybody in South Lakeland, North Lakeland, West and East, everybody who doesn't know Jesus is Christ. I have no concern whatsoever about you talking to your neighbor who goes to church regularly somewhere else. Forget about that. Talk to them about their soul in Jesus and salvation that transforms them. Forget about whether they go to church somewhere. Find out if they know Jesus is their Savior. And if they know Jesus and they're going somewhere else, pray that God will help them to find someone else to win to Jesus. If you're coming to this church because you went somewhere else and you needed to have a change, that's just wonderful and fine. But I want you to understand, we are not about shuffling around the deck. We are about winning new people to Jesus. And that means that every person here is welcome, but every person here has a responsibility and a calling to do more than just sit here. Is that okay? I thought it might be, because I know you, and I know that you really do want to do what God has called us to do as the church. I want you to understand that the expansion of Embrace is extended to all who are of the faith and all who are not of the faith. When Jesus gave this little passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, He spoke words that were so huge that people around Him were unbelieving that anyone could say such a thing, because He said, go out to the roads and the country and the country lanes and make them come in so that My house will be full. What was He saying? He was saying that it's not just for a select few. It's for everybody, because those who were selected would not come. I have come so that all men would not perish, but that all of them might come to repentance. And so you go out to everybody of every color and creed, and you let them know that they can come and eat at the table that's full of all the plenty that they need. That's pretty good. I want to tell you that I really don't know anybody in this church who would have been included if Jesus hadn't said that. Do you know that? And so what He's saying is that we've got to embrace everybody. People who are of the faith and people who are not of the faith. And you say, well, what about those people who are of other faiths? Are we supposed to let people know about Jesus if they're of another denomination or of another faith belief? They don't believe in Jesus at all. Are we supposed to tell them, folks, I want to tell you something. I am not here to cause trouble, but I am here to say to you, the Word of God is much truer than all of the politically correct sayings and words of our politicians. I am not asking you to take the Word of God and beat anybody with it. I want you to live the presence of Jesus everywhere you go. And when anybody wants to know the secret to your joy and your happiness, you talk about Jesus. You don't have to berate anybody. All you have to do is live like one that some people have never met, and you will be making a difference to all of those who are not of the faith, as well as to those who are of the faith. And so He is warning us to embrace everyone. In His very important book, Move Your Church to Action, Kent Hunter reports, now listen to this, the unchurched population in the United States is so extensive that if it were a nation, it would be the fifth most populated nation on the planet after China, the former Soviet Union, India, and Brazil. Therefore, our unchurched population is the largest mission field in the English-speaking world and the fifth largest globally. Can you think for just a second that there are so many unbelievers that they make up the fifth largest group in the entire world, and they are the largest English-speaking group in the world? Does that stagger your mind? Do you understand why Jesus said the road to heaven is narrow and few will find it, but the road to demise is broad and many will go upon it? It's a staggering thought. Let me ask you this question. What is the church? What is the church? Let's answer it. The church is each authentic Christ-forgiven individual. That's what the church is. We have talked church for so long until we have transferred us to buildings. We are the church. The church is each person here individually. If you call yourself a Christian, folks, you are at this particular place, Highland Park Church of the Nazarene. And when you walk out of this door and you are calling yourself a Christian, you are a Highland Park Church of the Nazarene church. Now, the church is all of us collectively. So it's not just you, it's not just me, it's all of us. We are the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the church of Jesus Christ cannot be a divided body, but must be a unified body who has one purpose, and that is to please the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul, mind, and strength. We are to live according to what His dictates are. We are to be what He has called us to be. We are to be the church. Now, what characteristics do you think are typical of a healthy Christian church? Now, I want to say something. For those of you who are skeptical, for just one second, I want you to believe me, okay? I know that preachers say this all the time. Preachers say, I'm not wanting the church to grow so that we'll have more numbers. And people are going, yeah, right. I want to say something to you that really is at the heart of my own life, that I believe with all of my being. There's no problem whatsoever for me to say this to you. I am more concerned about us being healthy than I am about us being large. There are a lot of large people who aren't healthy. And there are a lot of little people who aren't healthy. And so it doesn't matter what size the church is, the question is, are we healthy? And the only way you can know you're healthy is to check some of the characteristics of those things that are healthy. And so let's take a look at this for just a moment. Some of the characteristics below which are typical of a healthy Christian church. Now remember, the church is not an institution, it's you. So when I ask you to check this out, don't check out what's going on here, check out what's going on in here. Okay? One, the church that is healthy will maintain a high level of cleanliness. Is that the characteristic? A church that's healthy will maintain a high level of cleanliness. Number two, the church that is healthy will participate in exercise physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually so as to increase its stamina. You say, Pastor, are you talking about we've got to be exercise freaks? Only exercise I'm going to get running from my bed to my table. I'll tell you something. The Lord has convicted me a long time ago that I, as the church, have got to stay as healthy as I possibly can. And so that means total exercise. Not just of my body, but of my mind and my spirit and every other part of my being. Number three, the church that is healthy will consume wholesome nutrition so as to ward off disease. You're the church. What are you eating as a church? That means, what are you putting into your spiritual cavity? What are you putting in your soul? Every time you go to a movie, you're feeding your church. Oh, did you know that? You say, I'm a member of the Church of the Nazarene. We don't do movies. Yeah, well, let me say this to you. Whatever you see, you're feeding the church. Whatever you say on a regular basis is a result of what you've been eating as a church. Understand? You see, you and I cannot be any more the church than what we allow to come inside of us. And if the Holy Spirit, who is the church, is not living in us to burn up everything that is unholy and unhealthy and unclean, we are not a clean, healthy, holy church. Amen. Now, number four, the church that is healthy will find ways to reproduce the family name. Is that a characteristic? Yes, it is. So, number five would be the answer, all of the above. Now, all of us, every person here, will have to say that there are times that we don't quite live up to the level of church that we would like to. I want to tell you what happens when we're not being the church that we know we're supposed to be. We start compensating. It amazes me to see how we compensate to try to make up for what we're really not. We put on all kinds of crazy airs. And we use all kinds of methods to tell ourselves that we're okay when we're really not. And so I thought to try to make it come alive today, I'd give you a top 10 on how we compensate. So today's top 10 is the top 10 step guide to being considered handy when you're not. Now, you all know that I've had a mechanical bypass at birth. And it's all I can do to figure out how to get the key in the ignition, much less fix something that goes wrong. And so sometimes we have to compensate. So here is your top 10 guide to being considered handy when you aren't. Number 10, if you can't find the screwdriver, use a knife. If you break off the tip, call it an improved screwdriver. Number 9, always work alone. You don't need a jeering section. Number 8, if you can't make the window fit flush, use duct tape. That's how you fix not being a handyman. Number 7, if something electronic breaks, buy a new one or get a 12-year-old to tell you how to fix it. Number 6, if the nap on your carpet gets burned, don't buy a new carpet. Take a magic marker the same color and paint over it. You think that's funny. Let me tell you something. We had a facilities team on my church board in one of my other churches. And we had a parsonage and the carpet got burned. I won't tell you how that happened. That's a funny story itself. And my facilities crew came in, and they looked at that carpet burned, and they said, "We'll take a magic marker and make that look like new." And they meant it. Number 5, always take credit for miracles. If you drop the alarm clock while you're taking it apart to fix it, and it suddenly starts working, you healed it. Number 4, despite what you may have been taught at church, praying and cursing are both helpful in home repair, but only if you're alone. No. Don't quote me. Number 3, regardless of what people say, kicking, pounding, and throwing things does help. Number 2, if something looks level, it is level. And the number 1 step of being handy when you aren't, above all, if what you've done is stupid but it works, it's not stupid. Amen. Are you an authentic church? Or are you a compensating church? Are you having to come up with ways to fix what should be authentic? Are you having to say, "Oh, excuse, pardon my French," when you say things you're not supposed to say, folks? That's not right. Boy, you're scaring me. Amen? I was beginning to worry a little bit about you. Some of you speaking French? And by the way, why did they ever say that? Pardon my French. Somebody's going to answer that for me this week. I know you are. I want to say to you, if you're not a Christian, you're not going to talk like one. And if you are, you will. Say, "Pastor, this is the 3rd Sunday in a row you've talked about our language." Well, when I find out you're doing better, I'll quit talking about it. Number 2, a defining characteristic of the church that fulfills its purpose is that it's not an institution, it is an organism. The church is not an institution, it is an organism. Look at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. If Jesus said to us in Matthew 28 that we were to, under His authority, go and make disciples, then what He's saying to us is, you as an organism that's in me must do certain things. And so in John chapter 15, He says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener." Now I want you to listen real careful. I don't care what theological persuasion you are, just listen to the word of Jesus, okay? "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." Are you listening? "While every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, the church is not an institution. It is an organism. The church is not an institution. It is an organism. You, if you are the church, if you are in Jesus, you are a living, breathing being in Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you understand that if you and I call ourselves Christian, we are the church of Jesus Christ? And if we are the church of Jesus Christ, we are the breath, we are the activity, we are the nature, we are the attitude of Jesus, or we're supposed to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, we are not an institution. If you and I aren't winning other people to Jesus, if we're not nurturing other people to maturity, if we're not fulfilling the love of Christ that goes out beyond ourselves, then we are not fulfilling the signs of a healthy church. I want you to understand something, folks. When people walk inside these doors and they don't know Jesus, as there are people here today who have never accepted Jesus, if you and I fuss at them because they're sitting in our seat... You said, Pastor, does that happen? I'm sorry, it does. Now, I can't call any names right now, which is a good thing for you. Because I can't recall them, but I know people have come to me and said, so-and-so said to me, you're in my seat. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. The Church of Jesus Christ has no reserved seat on this earth. Your only reserved seat is in heaven. And if you want to go ahead and go there, talk to God. You'll have a reserved seat. But otherwise, you are the church looking for every possible way to see somebody saved. Wow. When people walk in here, you've got to have your arms out and love them. And I want to tell you something. You may not like everything that's going to happen in the next few months. But if you are the church, you will ask the question, is this going to make Jesus' body stronger? And if it does, you're going to say, so be it. I told you last week we're going to have to go to two services. Church board's already talked about it. Now, we haven't approved when, but we are talking about the fact that we've got to do it. We've got to build more building. We've just got to do it. I got through last week preaching. I had a couple of people who said, Pastor, we don't really have to go to two services, do we? And I said, yes, and I know you, and you're just going to do great with it. And you are. You are. Because you're the church. And because you want to see Jesus spread all over this community to people who can't come at 10:15. Isn't that exciting? I mean, you're the church. That's exciting stuff. I read something that really bothers me. According to the Journal of American Society for Church Growth, denominational statistics report that virtually half the churches across the United States did not record the conversion of one person last year. Does that bother you? According to data in the book, The Formerly Unchurched in America, it takes the combined efforts of 85 Christians working over an entire year to produce one convert. Do you know what that means? I want you to think about the fact that 85 of us working together for 1 year can only see one person come to Jesus. I don't know what that does to you. That bothers me if I read the scripture literally that says, go and make disciples of all nations. Folks, I'm not the church if I'm not obeying everything He commanded. And what He commanded is that I step outside of myself and I start loving other people enough to see them one to Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Why is it that we don't that we don't reproduce if we call ourselves the church and we call ourselves a totally healthy church. Why is it that people who are the healthy church of Jesus Christ, why is it that we aren't reproducing? Number one, maybe we are not totally healthy. You know, where there is no reproduction, there's usually a reason. I want you to understand, I have been with so many families who've wanted to have a family and couldn't. And my heart's broken for them. Because there's been something somewhere that's not totally the way it needed to be. Doesn't make them bad people. But I'll tell you something, in the church of Jesus Christ, if we are not reproducing, it's not because Jesus, our Creator, doesn't want us to be. It's because something isn't totally healthy in us. Or maybe, number two, we've not remained totally connected. Remember what Jesus said? If you remain in me, you will bear fruit. And every tree that doesn't bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Or number three, we have allowed disease to go unchecked. I just wonder how many of us have committed sin this week that we have not confessed. Could I just tell you something? If you call yourself the church and you willfully, now I want to define sin for you, willfully going against the known law of God, I know what I'm supposed to do, but God, I have more authority in my life than you do. That's sin, okay? If you define sin that way, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is there unconfessed sin in my life? Folks, the unhealthy church is the church that has unconfessed sin in its life. Is that pretty clear? And I want to tell you something. Unconfessed sin will dry up the body of Christ. John Donne preached and lived. He lived from 1573 to 1631. And he had an interesting statement. He said, "Men perish with whispering sins, nay, with silent sins. Sins that never tell the conscience that they are sins. And in hell, they shall meet as many men that never thought what was sin." Whew. He lived a long time ago, but he was pretty accurate for today. Men perish with whispering sins, nay, with silent sins. Sins that never tell the conscience that they are sins. And in hell, they shall meet as many men that never thought what was sin. The Church of Jesus Christ deserves more than rationalization so we can have what we want as individuals. The Church of Jesus Christ has got to be healthy, authentic, believers and obedient to what Jesus said. As the Church of Jesus Christ today, are you embracing and visibly in love with the body of Christ? Are you? Or are you visibly in love with a few people, but some people you just can't tolerate? Folks, if our love is like the love of Jesus, I sure hope that even if we don't like what some people do and how some people act, we will still love them enough to embrace them, because that's what Jesus did for us. Are you sometimes not real pretty? And I don't just mean when you get up early in the morning. And yet, He loves us. We've got to love people who look like they just crawled out from under a rock. Okay? As the Church of Jesus Christ, what are your symptoms that you remain in the vine of Christ? Are you winning others to Christ? That's a symptom. Are you growing in your knowledge of Christ? That's a symptom. Are you actively involved in ministering to the needs and hurts of others? That's a symptom. Are you representing the nature of your Father God? Would you stand, please? I have a dream. I have a dream of a church that goes beyond itself. I have a dream of a church who will not be satisfied that if they go to church, they can still do things they know are wrong and act like it's okay. I have a dream of a church that knows that it's healthy and whole. If there is any unconfessed sin in your life today, will you please bring that sin with you? Would you forget about what anybody else might say? You know what they might say? What they might say is, there's a person that really wants to be the church of Jesus Christ. Whatever's in your life that needs to be removed, would you step out from where you are and come and kneel at this altar and tell Jesus what it is that you need Him to do in your life? Are you an authentic church? If the church is no better than you, how strong is the church? If the church of Jesus Christ, if Jesus talks like you talk, is that the church He set up? If there's anything that you need to talk to Him about, would you come right now while our musicians sing? Everyone else, would you just bow your head, please? Mm-hmm.